You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even a tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
You make me sick to my stomach if you're lukewarm. I mean, think about it. Jesus has come to this church and says, you think you're rich. You're not. You think you're prospering. How many churches today do we see that are filled? Every one of the seats. Parking lots filled. Preacher's wearing a brand new $400 suit. He's standing up there with 20-piece band, the whole bit. They're singing, they're having a good time, that church is doing great, and when those people walk out the door, they walk right back into the world and there's no difference in them. Think about it. If it wasn't that way, Rock Springs would be saved. Wyoming would have revivals. See what I'm saying? How many times do we get to that point where we're so comfortable? Well, how many of us would be here? Don't answer me. How many would be here right now if we were sitting in the Philippines in 95-degree weather with the sun beating down on our head and a palm leaf going like this? And the water we were drinking was slightly brown and hot. How many of us would be sitting here listening to the pastor preach? See what I mean?
Yeah.
We got it made, people. We are the most blessed nation in the world, and I guarantee you, I believe my wife's vision is 100% true. I see it. I see a tide of evil coming over this world like I've never seen. When a pastor can get up in front of the world and tell us that the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing by going against the Word of God, we're in deep trouble.
Amen.
We are in deep, deep trouble.
Yes. Amen.
And I don't care whether it has to do with the sin of homosexuality, the sin of adultery, the sin of theft, the sin of lust. I don't care what sin you pick. If a man of God can stand up before you and say, Holy Spirit's doing a new thing. He's told me to be mature. We have to accept this sin. You better get your hat and you better run out that door so fast or you're doomed.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Matthew 23, Ezekiel 33, Jeremiah 23, Isaiah, all of them say the same thing. If a man of God stands before you and I, as in God, gives him a word and he fails to preach it, the blood of them that don't hear it will be on his head and their souls shall be his responsibility. That man of God that got on TV and told the world that the Holy Spirit was doing a new thing, think of what's going to be on his shoulders on Judgment Day. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, it makes me so sick I want to puke him. And my stomach hurts so bad I can't hold it. Think about it. This is the Son of God that hung on the cross. I mean, really stop and think here. Just close your eyes and really picture this. Jesus is on the cross. He's spread out with nails in his hands. He's got nails through his both ankles. He is bleeding. He has a crown of thorns, so the blood's running down through his eyes. He is barely able to breathe. He has been whipped. He has been spat upon. He has been called disgusting names. He has been taken and humiliated. And yet this is the Jesus that looked down at that crowd and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. That's how much love Jesus has for us. And yet lukewarm Christians make him so hurt and sick to his stomach, he wants to puke. Now think about it. Look at what Jesus went through up to the death on the cross, and he still was able to look down and say, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. But when it comes to people that say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Hey, give me another beer.
Mm-hmm. Just try. Yeah. Thank
you. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Hey, is Fear Factor on? Jesus he can't take that. He'd rather you just be cold. Isn't that, now think about this. This is the Son of God. What is it if you're cold? Where are you going? If you're dead cold to God, you're about as good as Satan, aren't you? Because Satan's cold to the Holy Spirit. Satan's cold to the light. So the bottom line is, if you're cold, you're going to hell, aren't you? If you're hot, you're going to heaven. So Jesus is saying, this is how much it hurts him for you and I to use his name and go out into the world and be a human being without trying. He is saying, I'd rather you be cold. Because at least then he knows where you stand. But because you're lukewarm, you're doing this. You're walking this little line right here, and Jesus, he's constantly calling you. The Holy Spirit's constantly pulling you into the hot zone. But you refuse. You stay on this line. And I'm sure every so often you step over to the cold side, and then you get back real quick. You don't want your neighbors to see you on that cold side. Saddest statement I ever heard was a church in Pinedale, Wyoming. It wasn't Rock Springs, it's Pinedale. Person said, I don't see any reason to go to church. Because I know the people that go to that church, and I see a lot of them in the bar up there. You know, you're a preacher by your actions. You may never open your mouth and stand before people and preach, but you're a preacher by your actions.
Right.
And I know it sounds harsh, and I know it sounds hurtful, but the truth is, Jesus is saying here, I'd just rather you be cold. Because then the judgment is set. While you're lukewarm, you are hurting me. Hurting me so much that it makes me sick to my stomach.
Right.
And this is what I love about Jesus. Because what does he say here? To those whom I love, I reprove and chasten. So be zealous and repent.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that to the lukewarm people. What was the word that we got today? We got two words from God today, and both of them said the same thing. I'm coming soon, and you better get your act together. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's basically the gist of those two words from God. What does he say here? He says, to those whom I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him, and I will eat with him, and him with me. What does that mean? That means us that are lukewarm are standing on this little thing here, and Jesus is up there probably weeping because of it. He loves us so much that he's still allowing the Holy Spirit to knock at our heart. And he's saying, any one of you that will open that door to me, I will come in and sup with you, and you with me. I reprove those that I love. See, if your conscience still bugs you if you do things that you know you shouldn't, that's the Holy Spirit reproving you. But the moment your conscience doesn't bug you, you're in trouble.
That's right.
See, to me, the best way to describe being a lukewarm Christian is, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced or come even close to freezing to death. But when you freeze to death, you have the energy to go on and go on and go on. And what suddenly happens as you get close to freezing to death is you start to get tired. and fatigued. Because your body, your metabolism is slowing down. Your body temperature is coming to a halt. You're about ready to die. And you start to feel tireder and tireder and tireder till the point where you give up. And when you stop, you suddenly feel a total peace just before you die. And if at that second you don't stand up and start walking or crawling or moving, your eyes will close and you will never, ever wake up again. And that's what happens to us as Christians when we start entering into the lukewarm zone. We strive, we fight, we work, we study, we go forward, but we meet a few roadblocks from Satan. We meet a few turns to take us away where we don't want to go because of Satan. And when we get to the point where we start to feel tired, that's the first warning sign. The second warning sign is you just want to rest. Oh, I want to sleep in. I don't want to go to church this morning. Oh, I want to go to the park. I don't want to go to church tonight. Oh, you know, I can read my Bible tomorrow. It's such a beautiful day. I'm going to go out to McDonald's early for breakfast before I go to work. You start feeling tired of God's Word. And the moment, the second you feel comfortable with that, if you don't rally, you're gone. If you don't rally at that exact second, it's over. You're back in the world. See, last week I asked you guys to read all the books of Revelation and see where you were. Did anybody do that? Because if you didn't, go back to the seven churches of Revelation, read them, and find out where you are. Look at those churches as personal. You will see that out of those churches, there's only two good. Out of seven, there's only two good. And there's only one that's really good. Because the other good one, they're going to go through trials and tribulations. So I don't want to be in that one. I want to be in this. But where are you personally? Take each one of those and read it and say, is this me? Is this me? Is this me? Is this me? Because that's a barometer of where you are. And if you're in the church of Laodicea, will you come to church comfortably, where you enjoy your Christian fellowship, where you read your Bible occasionally, but you never go, never go, then you're very close to being asleep. A great pastor once said, any day that you don't go forward, you're a backslider. Think about it. Any day that you don't go forward, you're a backslider. Jesus spent around 3 years in his ministry. If you read the Gospels over and over, you'll see one thing about Jesus' ministry. When it started, it continued forward every day. Jesus didn't take a 2-week vacation. Jesus didn't take a sabbatical. Jesus didn't go away for months to do something. Jesus had a mission, and he went forward every single day. Look at Paul's life. Paul had some bad days, but he went forward spiritually. For I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ Jesus. That takes a lot. That takes a lot of faith. Let's look at a few examples of lukewarm. You know that in Matthew alone, just Matthew alone, this is such a concern of Jesus's that he mentions it 8 different times. He never uses the word lukewarm, but he speaks of different ways that we can take our eyes off the Lord. 8 times. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 and 10, 8 through 10. Most of you should know this one. Now, let's start at 8. Bear fruit that befits repentance. And do not presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up the children of Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now who's he talking to there? He is talking to the religious leaders of that day, isn't he? He's not talking to the Gentiles. He's not talking to the Samaritans. He's talking to the religious leaders saying, bear good fruit, because even now, as he's walking the earth, even now the axe is prepared, is ready to cut down the trees that don't bear good fruit. That's lukewarmness. If we don't bear good fruit, we're lukewarm. We're worthless to Jesus. What good, now just think about it, don't say it. Think about it. What good are you to Jesus if you don't bear fruit? I mean, do you think, come on, let's be real. You think Jesus came and God called you to Jesus? Because Jesus tells us, no one comes to me except the Lord has called him. Do you think Jesus called you? Do you think God called you to be saved so that you do nothing? Just because he loves you so much, he wants you saved? Well, yes, he does want you saved. But if you start reading your scriptures, you're going to find out that he wants more than just you saved. He wants you to save the next person. He wants you to save the next person. It don't take a lot. It does not take a lot to be Christ to your neighbor. I mean, he was simple. Any one of you that gives a glass of water to the least of these has done it to me. That's simple. You know, your neighbor's out there mowing their lawn in 100-degree weather and you don't get along with your neighbor very well. How hard is it to pour a glass of water and take it over with some ice in it and say, here. They'll look at you and just say, well, Jesus said I should do this to my neighbor, so here. You just showed your neighbor you're different. Jesus didn't say for you to reap. He told you to what? Sow the seed. One simple glass of water can sow the seed. And guess what? You just bore fruit. Simple little glass of water, you bore fruit. Was that hard? No. You see what I mean? See, we can fall into this. Let's look at Matthew 5. 13. 13, yeah. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand. It gives light to all the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Now, did he say, let your light shine before men and stand on the street corner with your Bible preaching? He said that they could see your good works if you do it under the least of these. You know, I love Jesus. I picture Jesus up on top of a hill preaching to them with a 2x4 up against the side of his head. Do you ever see those comedy jokes where they carry the board around and knock people out because they weren't paying attention? Jesus had a sense of humor. I picture him doing that with a big plank. He's got this up here walking around telling them, how can you get the speck out of your neighbor's eye till you get this plank out of yours? That's a joke, people. I don't know if you know it, but read the Bible. Jesus had a great sense of humor. He used analogies that they would understand. Right here, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, does anybody know salt can't lose its flavor? No matter what you do to salt, it's salt. Even if you separate it, it's going to taste like salt. You put it in water, it's going to taste like salt. You crush it, you cook it, you burn it, it's going to taste like salt. Salt can't lose its flavor. You got to be pretty darn lukewarm to be losing your flavor. See what he's saying? Jesus had a great sense of humor. You don't light a light, put it under a bushel. I mean, you don't get your candle out and light it and go, oh man, it's dark in here. I wonder why the candle don't work. Do ya? See, Jesus had a great sense of humor to get his points across. We are the light. What does he say here? You are the light. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to God. He didn't say go out and preach the gospel to everybody. Let them see your good works. Don't answer, but think about it. Did you do a good work this week? Did you do a good work in the name of Jesus this week? To anybody? Anyone? Was there anybody that crossed your path that you did a good work in Jesus' name to? I'm hoping that every one of you right now is saying, yeah, I did this, I did that. I'm hoping every one of you has something in your mind right now that you can say before the Lord, I did a good work. But if you don't, you're on that edge. You're on that edge of getting tired. You're on that edge of laying down and falling asleep. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And I'm not going to say, I can't say good or bad. I'm not going to make that comment because I'm not God. But I'm going to read this to you and I want you to listen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father is in heaven. On that day, what's he talking about? On that day, judgment day. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Do many mighty works in your name? Get this. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Let's back up. Wait a minute. That can't be. These guys were prophesying in Jesus' name. These people were raising the dead. Mighty works. They were doing signs and wonders. Miracles. In Jesus' name. What did Jesus say? Unless he does the will of my Father in heaven. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Has anybody got a good guess what God's will is? God's number one primary thing for you and I to do is save the lost. Shine, Jesus, shine. Well, the song should be for us, shine, Jay, shine. Because if I don't shine, somebody over here don't see Jesus. Don't matter how many times I sing that pretty little song, or I sing Majesty, worship His Majesty in this building. Doesn't do me any good if I'm not out there worshiping His Majesty in front of the world so they know Jesus lives. He said it right here. They did miracles. These people did miracles. These people stood up in front of their congregation and they healed people. They prophesied in Jesus' name. They did mighty works. And he says, leave me alone, you evildoers, because you didn't do the Word of God. Well, I'll tell you what, if you've got a man of God up here that'll preach to you, that'll bring healing to you, that'll do mighty prophecies for you and do mighty works, and he doesn't tell you you need to do the will of God, he doesn't tell you to get out there and start preaching the gospel, he doesn't tell you to wake up and start working, better get your hat and run again.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.